When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sask Egg Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Egg Today. Coming up on today's program, the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission is welcoming the appointment of David Hunt as Chief Commissioner of the Canadian Grain Commission. We'll hear from their chair, Jake Legui. We're not hearing much about it now, but that won't be the case a month from now. Both major railways could be dealing with labor disruptions as early as May 22nd. We'll hear from CPKC Chief Executive Officer Keith Creel on that. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will be expanding the testing of dairy cows for avian influenza next week. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack will have the details on that. And, of course, the GX94 Supper in the Field went out last night, and we will hear from our winner of that contest, Curtis and Megan Kramer, who farm in the Avonhurst area. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. It's time now for the Beef and Forage Report, and that's a presentation of Bumper to Bumper in Langenberg and Rokenville, your auto parts professionals. Let them find the parts no one else can. Open 8 to 6 Monday to Saturday. Call 306-743-2332.
Beef and Forage Report.
For cow-calf operations, a major component of profitability is reproductive efficiency, or the number of calves weaned per cow exposed. When open rates are higher than expected, it can be difficult to pinpoint the cause. There may be many factors that contributed. Vitamin A is necessary for reproduction and synthesized in the rumen from carotenes found in fresh green forage. During the summer months, cows usually consume enough fresh forage to satisfy the requirement for vitamin A. During dry conditions, forages go dormant earlier in the grazing season than usual. The beta-carotene content of dormant forages is much lower, making it necessary to supplement vitamin A in the ration. Even feeds that were harvested green will gradually decrease in beta-carotene concentration during storage. Vitamin A deficiency can lead to decreased fertility of the cow herd. And that's the Beef and Forage Report. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program. And that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, AgriView.
Canada's
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Petition concerns about U.S. agribusiness Bunge's planned takeover of rival Viterra sets the stage for the companies to sell some assets to close the deal. Canada's Competition Bureau said on Tuesday it was worried about reduced competition to buy farmers' crops in Western Canada and to sell canola oil in Eastern Canada if the deal proceeds. It also flagged as a concern Bunge's minority stake in grain handler G3, a Viterra competitor. The global agriculture merger is the largest ever by dollar value, creating a company worth $34 billion, including debt. Analysts have said Canada was one of the countries in which the two companies' assets had the most overlap. The Competition Bureau said Canada will ask the companies to address any overlapping concerns related to competition and transportation. Such remedies often involve selling assets to third parties in sensitive markets. In a show of independent strength, canola futures on the Intercontinental Exchange had one of its best weeks this calendar year during the week ended yesterday. Ken Ball of PI Financial Services in Winnipeg says canola's rise was surprising considering crush margins dropped more than $20 Canadian per metric ton over the past week. He says while growers' concerns over dryness in the prairies may have had an effect, the funds and canola crushers may have played a bigger part. According to Ball, there's still opportunity for canola to go higher. It will happen if either soy oil prices rise or adverse weather appears during the summer. In order for canola to regain positive price momentum, he says it would need some help from vegetable oils. Canada needs a simple, consistent, and easy-to-use system to build on its green agriculture reputation. That's according to a recent report from accounting firm Deloitte Canada. They note that an overabundance of sustainability claims and the growth of greenwashing makes a credible, consistent standard even more important to ensure consumer trust. Deloitte worked with the Canadian Alliance for Net Zero Agri-Food, whose members include McCain, Loblaw Companies, and RBC. The report authors examined existing practices, trends in the food sector, and what will be needed to successfully meet Canada's net zero carbon goals. A more robust and uniform system for the measurement, reporting, and verification of greenhouse gas reductions and removals is at the heart of the challenge. A climate change researcher at the University of Prince Edward Island says more potato farmers may have to turn to irrigation to grow their crops. Xander Wong, director of the university's Climate Smart Lab, says irrigation is relatively uncommon on PEI farms, but that may change because the island is getting less rain in August, the most important month of the growing season. Wong says farmers will have to adapt to this seasonal change because yields are expected to fall over the next 50 years, even if big changes are made to reduce climate change. European Union proposals to weaken the green conditions attached to the bloc subsidies for farmers won backing from the European Parliament yesterday as policymakers attempt to quell protests across Europe. The proposals reduce some of the environmental rules linked to the disbursement of tens of billions of euros in farming subsidies. To receive subsidies, farmers would no longer have to leave 4% of their land fallow to support biodiversity. Farmers could carry out crop diversification rather than crop rotation, and countries will be able to introduce exemptions from the rules if they face difficulties applying them and in cases of extreme weather. Small farms below 10 hectares or about 25 acres will also be exempt from control checks or penalties for not complying. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. It's cloudy and 18 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 177.80 today. That's up 255. August live cattle closed at 176.05, up 267. May feeder cattle closed at 246.25, up 215. August feeder cattle closed at 258.30, up 2 full cents. May lean hogs closed at 95.27, down 207. June lean hogs closed at 105 even, down 245. And that's the livestock market conditions. Now it's time for the Heartland Livestock Report from Yorkton.
Good afternoon, cattle producers. Here is your HLS Yorkton Market Report for the week ending April 26th. Just like that, April's almost over. With some hot weather and a little shot of rain, the grass should be growing in no time. A good run on offer this week in Yorkton with 1541 in the sort and 313 cows and bulls. We finished off the day with 1854 head. Here are some highlights. On the steer trade, 424-pound blacks at 502.75, 505-pound exotic cross steers at 463, 690-pound tan steers at 377, 737-pound red Angus steers at 374.50. That was a one-owner group of steers from Melville. 854-pound blacks at 334.50, and 923-pound exotic cross steers at 316.5. On to the heifer trade, 422-pound black heifers at 420.50, 506-pound tans at $4.50, 646-pound exotic cross heifers at 354, 706-pound red Angus heifers at 327.50, 772-pound black heifers at 317.75. That was another good set of one-owner replacement heifers, black and black broccoles from the Roblin area. 857-pound tans at 302, and 953-pound exotic cross heifers at 278.50. On the cow and bull trade, our cows traded right steady with last week's D1, D2 cows 165 to 190 with sales to 198, D3 cows 120 to 150, thin, shelly, blemish, older cows 75 to $1.15. Our cows averaged 167.04. On to the bull trade, big hard bulls 180 to 205 with sales to 212.5, medium bulls 165 to 175. Our bulls averaged 190.02. Next week's feeder sale still has some room. Please remember to book in and phone your cattle in so we can prepare staff and buyers. Next week is a pre-sort, but the following week will be a regular sale. Don't forget to check out our upcoming schedule on Facebook or our website, hls.ca. Thank you to all the producers for bringing a fine set of cattle to town this week. This has been Carter Seela with your HLS Yorkton Market Report. Have a great day, and thank you for being a part of our industry.
Welcome back to SaskAg Today. The Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission welcomes the appointment of David Hunt as Chief Commissioner of the Canadian Grain Commission. The chair of Sask Wheat, Jake Legui, says their relationship with the Canadian Grain Commission is an important one.
They are a huge part of making sure that our system is fair for producers and the producers are protected. When it comes to the bond that elevators and grain companies and buyers have to have to make sure that, you know, that producers will get paid regardless of what happens. The grain grading is obviously one of the most important pieces of growing a crop, especially, you know, our wheat and durum that is so important to us. So it's a key relationship.
He says he's looking forward to working with Hunt and the commission.
It's good to see that they've made the announcement, and now we can start building that relationship and beginning to work with our new chief commissioner to ensure that the Canadian Grain Commission continues to live up to their mandate of working in the interests of grain producers.
Hunt's first day isn't until May 13th, and Legui hopes to have a meeting with him in the near future.
It's a busy time of the year, so May 13th will come very quickly for those of us that are in the fields. So we'll do what we can to try and arrange an opportunity to meet with him, but he'll have a very busy schedule too. So I guess our interest is to ensure that the Canadian Grain Commission continues to work in the interests of grain producers. And whatever that takes to make sure that that continues to be the case is what our focus will be.
Legui also shared his thoughts on the Competition Bureau having concerns with the Bunge-Viterra merger, mainly the reduction of competition. He notes Sask Wheat did its own report on the possible impact the merger would have on grain farmers in Western Canada.
The report is pretty clear that we would see a fairly dramatic reduction in the dollars that would end up in grain producers' pockets after delivery. It would impact competition both at local points of delivery for a few locations where there is a Bunge, but they also have a significant interest in G3, which has a lot of locations. There would be a big impact at the port of Vancouver, where G3 has a, you know, quite a nice new facility. So it would make for a very large grain company that would have an awful lot of power over the market. So we have a lot of concerns about it. And so I was pleased, we were all pleased to see that the report recommended against allowing the merger without at least some divestitures or anything like that. But I guess at this point, you know, it's up to the government to make that decision. The report that was put together by the Competition Bureau was only advice. So
he went on to say that Sask Wheat will be writing a letter to the federal cabinet urging them to not allow this deal to go through without some substantial modifications to how the new company would eventually look. Please stay tuned. Your commodities update will be coming up in 1 minute's time.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. May canola closed at $6.22.80, down $3.90. July canola closed at $6.36.90, down $2.50. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $6.91 per bushel. That's up 12 cents. May Kansas City wheat closed at $6.32 per bushel, up 7¾ of a cent. May Chicago wheat closed at $6.02¼, up 7¾ of a cent. May corn closed at $4.41 per bushel, up 3¼ cents. May soybeans closed at $11.62¾, down 3¼ cents. May oats closed at $3.67 per bushel. That's unchanged from yesterday's close. And that's the commodities update. Well, we're not hearing much about it now, but that won't be the case a month from now. Both major Canadian railways could be dealing with labor disruptions as early as May 22nd. As usual, the stumbling blocks are wages and scheduling. During a conference call yesterday to announce first quarter earnings, CPKC Chief Executive Officer Keith Creel said his company has two offers on the table.
We have what I call a status quo deal with only one, what I would call a pay relative change, not a work rule change, tied to held away from home terminal pay. That's the only concession that we're asking for in exchange for fair and equitable wage increases. The second is a progressive hourly deal. I can tell you that progressive hourly deal, in my assessment, addresses what our employees want and need. They want a better quality of life. They want higher wages. And in turn, our ability to be able to provide that is found in the terms and conditions of that hourly agreement.
Creel adds a strike would impact both freight and passenger traffic.
You know, CN's facing the same deadline that we're facing. Not only would it be our running trades employees that operate the trains that move across the network, it's also our dispatchers that dispatch not only the freight trains, but also dispatch the passenger trains in Vancouver that get the good folks in Vancouver from their homes to the downtown core to go to work. Same situation in Toronto with Metrolinx. We dispatch those trains on our rail line. Same situation in Montreal with those passengers. So this is truly something that I hope can be avoided.
The workers at both railways are represented by the Teamsters Canada Rail Conference. Meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Agriculture will be expanding the testing of dairy cows for avian influenza next week. All lactating dairy cattle moving between states will need to be tested. That's according to USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack.
The novel movement of H5N1 between wild birds and dairy cows requires further testing in order for us to develop a critical understanding that would support any further course of action. The federal order we issued, we believe, is critical to increasing that information that will become available to USDA.
He explains what the testing involves.
Prior to interstate movement, dairy cattle will be required to receive a negative test for influenza A virus at an approved National Animal Health Laboratory Network laboratory. Owners of herds in which dairy cows test positive for interstate movement will be required to provide biological information, including animal movement tracing. And dairy cattle that does, in fact, move interstate will have to adhere to the conditions established by APHIS in the guidance that will be published. These steps will be required beginning Monday, but we will focus primarily and specifically on lactating dairy cattle as we initiate this effort, because this has been the area of the dairy industry that has been the focus of activity over the last several weeks.
So far, dairy cattle in 8 U.S. states have tested positive over the past month, along with one dairy worker in Texas. It's not known how the virus is able to move around. Cattle futures were lower yesterday, even though the virus has not been found in a beef cattle herd. Those in the beef business are hoping for some solid answers before the start of the important barbecue and grilling season. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. Week one of the spring edition of GX94 Supper in the Field took us to the Curtis and Megan Kramer farm last night in the Avonhurst area. After supper, I spoke with Curtis about his farming operation.
We're farming about 5,000 acres here, just north of Edenwald, north of Avonhurst, yeah.
And what are you planning on seeding this year?
It'll be a bit of a mixed bag. We always have kind of a bit of a bread basket. We have lentils going in, peas, barley, durum wheat, hard red spring, and some canola as well.
And have you started yet?
No. Hopefully tomorrow morning. We talked about getting rolling tonight, but yeah, it'll be tomorrow morning, we're thinking, so.
Now, this farm you took over from your dad?
Yeah. He took over from his dad, and then I've taken over from him in the last number of years. But him and Mom are still very involved in it. They're out here all the time during seeding and harvest. And their help and my wife's help, it's a team effort for sure. So
if it goes back to your grandpa, is it like a century family farm or anything?
No, it wouldn't be there yet. No, I don't think so. I'm not sure exactly when grandpa started it. It would have been probably sometime in the 50s, something like that. Would have been when he was out here. So, yeah.
Now, your wife and you have four kids as well. Tell me a little bit about them.
Megan grew up in Yorkton, so that's kind of the connection to GX94 and everybody back there. And her folks put us in the draw. But yeah, so Megan's from Yorkton, and then we've got four kids. Colton is 12, Ayla is 10, Austin is 8, and Hannah turns 6 here in a couple days. So.
Excellent. And obviously, if your wife's from Yorkton and you're from Edenwald, how did you meet?
We met at Good Spirit Bible Camp, actually. So, we met there probably when we were in high school or junior high, something like that. And, have been together a long, long time. So.
Sounds like it. How did harvest go for you last year?
It was good. Yeah, it was really good. We had bountiful rains in the spring, and then the tap kind of shut off. But thankfully, we had enough subsoil moisture just to carry us through. So in the smoke and the kind of coolness of the summer, I let the crops hang on just long enough for some August rains. And yeah, the crops out here, there was some good crops, some great crops, and everything in between. But yeah, we were very fortunate in this area. So.
You'd mentioned around 5,000 acres. Do you own it all, or do you rent some?
No, we would probably own about 3,000 and rent a couple thousand acres of it. Some of it's rented on the local reserves around here, and then most of it would be north of Edenwald, north of Avonhurst area. So.
And you have some neighbors here tonight to help celebrate as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we get lots of help from the neighbors during the busy seasons, and our kids are all the same age, so it's always fun to hang out with the Wilkes and, just to get together. So.
And what did you think of the meal and everything that went with it tonight?
The meal was fantastic. Yeah, no, my compliments to the chef. It was really, really good. And it was lots of food, lots of leftovers for everybody, so we'll enjoy it for a number of meals. So.
And the prize package, is it everything you thought it would be and more?
Yeah, absolutely. No, lots of prizes and really, really nice stuff. So thank you to the people who provided the food. Thank you to the sponsors, and a huge thank you to GX for putting it all together. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and enjoy seeding. Hopefully it goes well for you this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And happy seeding to everybody else out there.
Curtis and Megan Kramer were our week one winners for the spring edition of GX94 Supper in the Field. It's now 101 in Saskatchewan, 201 in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 Precision Weather Forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Mainly cloudy, winds south-southwest at 15 to 25, then diminishing, a high of 20. For tonight, mainly cloudy, winds southeast, becoming light, a low of 6. For tomorrow, partly to mainly sunny, winds north at 15 to 30, then gusting higher, a high of 18, an overnight low of 0. For Saturday, mainly sunny, winds northeast at 15 to 30, a high of 10. For Sunday, partly sunny, a high of 13, and Monday, partly sunny, a high of 16. In the Paw, it's 17 degrees, Swan River and Dauphin are at 21, Brandon and Shoal Lake Russell, 20, Roblin, 18. Regina is at 17, Saskatoon and Hudson Bay, 18, Broadview, Mooseman, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 21, Indian Head, 16. The Yorkton-Melville region has a mainly cloudy sky, a south wind at 24 kilometers an hour. 38% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 18 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for SaskAg Today for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.